40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago, where a round of severe thunderstorms just moved through the area, and the bad weather stretches from here down to Texas. Storms produced deadly tornadoes in Oklahoma last night. Oklahoma Baptist University was damaged. School President Heath Thomas.
This is the most significant natural disaster in the history of OBU. That's 113 years.
More from CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Powerful storms tore through the South and Midwest. And pounded the country's midsection with violent tornadoes and hail. More than a dozen tornadoes were reported yesterday in Kansas, Iowa, and Oklahoma. At least three people were killed in the Sooner State, two near the small town of Cole, about 30 miles south of Oklahoma City.
There are indications President Biden may be getting closer to making his formal re-election announcement. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
One source familiar with the planning tells CBS News that the Biden team is aiming to release the re-election announcement video next Tuesday, April 25th, but that President Biden himself hasn't officially signed off on the timing yet. The president is going to Camp David with staff and family this weekend, where presumably this will be a major topic of conversation.
Alec Baldwin's lawyers say they expect prosecutors in New Mexico to drop criminal charges against Baldwin in the fatal onset shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins during a rehearsal for the movie Rust. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson doubts the charges against the armorer for Rust will be dropped.
Do you think Hannah Gutierrez will still stand trial and or these charges will continue against her? Because she's the one where on set, it's her job to make sure that something tragic like this doesn't happen.
The Pentagon prepositions a group of Special Forces troops near Sudan, CBS's David Martin reports.
U.S. officials say Special Operations Forces have been moved to an American base in the African country of Djibouti. U.S. officials are trying to arrange a ceasefire that would allow U.S. troops to conduct an evacuation through the airport. Without a ceasefire, it may be too dangerous for Americans to get to the airport or for the Special Operations Forces to fly in.
Twitter finally starts removing blue check marks from verified profiles, CBS's Monica Ricks.
Many of them journalists, athletes, and public figures, from Beyonce to Pope Francis. Politicians like President Biden have gray check marks now with a U.S. government official label. Companies and news organizations get gold checks. About 300,000 users had been verified by the platform's original blue check system. Now, a blue check mark costs $8 a month.
BuzzFeed will close its news division and cut 15% of all staff. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere. Here's what you need to know. The statewide tornado drill set for today has been postponed. Storms are expected today, and the National Weather Service may need to issue actual warnings. The test now pushed to Friday with the same schedule of 1:45 and 6:45 p.m. If the weather is bad again tomorrow, the test will be canceled until next year. A lawsuit against fake Republican electors and their attorneys can continue after a Dane County judge ruled against a motion to have them removed on Wednesday. The suit targets Wisconsin Republicans who posed as electors after the 2020 election and the lawyers who helped them. Those named in the suit met at the Capitol after the state Supreme Court rejected the final lawsuit by the Trump campaign to overturn the results. They cast their ballots for Trump while the actual electors cast their ballots for Joe Biden. The plaintiffs are seeking punitive damages of up to $2.4 million. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
Arby High is now in session. Today's subjects, biology.
Name an animal with the long neck.
Dinosaur, long neck, yeah.
Let me ask you something. When last time you seen one?
Anatomy.
Name a part of Steve Harvey that a woman might want to kiss.
Your six pack.
The six pack? Does she know who Steve Harvey is? You got to dig for it, but it's in there.
Get school with Family Feud.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on CW18.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. The Shaw, 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming.
Cast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I want to start off today. Watched a video, and it's been stuck with me a good portion of the day. We've all heard the story of the guy in upstate New York who someone pulled into the driveway and a 65-year-old guy just, decided to shoot out at the car and shot and killed a 20-year-old girl. Well, her father was at a press conference, and it was one of these things that my heart breaks for this guy. I've got two daughters. I have no idea my reaction. I have no idea how I would handle it. I know I would agree with him. I hope the guy dies in jail. I hope he gets what he deserves. But I'm watching this, and he's telling the story about this girl's Kaylin Gillis's boyfriend who wanted to marry her, and he would have been thrilled that if they'd have gotten married. And he's telling this story about how the first time he sees this kid, the kid says it's all my fault. And he did what any decent person would do, say, no, it's not your fault. He said, no, it's no one's fault except the man that pulled the trigger. You guys had no idea something that bad could happen on a backcountry road. That has stuck with me today. That's one of those things that I've been mulling around in my head all day today. And it's one of those things where, you don't expect these things to happen. But you know what? It is, I do believe it's others' fault. I do believe that we've been moving toward this point. And, Republicans have been doing everything they can possibly do to make, buying guns and accessing guns and bigger more deadly guns available. The NRA has been, the right wing of the right arm of the Republican Party pushing this stuff. And I've joked in the past that I'll guarantee you they want vending machines with whatever you want. You need that AK? Just pull the lever. And not just making access to them much more easily gotten, but, the idea of using them. And we've done this through legislation. Everywhere we look right now, the right wing fetish is we gotta make it easier to get guns. I guess Missouri just made it even easier than it was before, And I started thinking about, it's one thing to have the guns available, and we've got, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 10 guns per person in this country. But you start looking at the legislation that Republicans have been moving. And I blame Republicans because this is their baby. It's all about the guns. It's all about feeding the gun fetish. you know, stand your ground laws, castle doctrine laws, you know, anything that they can do to make using the gun justifiable. And, you know, I started thinking about this today. You got a 20-year-old who gets killed for pulling into the wrong driveway, a 16-year-old who gets shot through a screen door for knocking on the wrong door, a 6-year-old and their parents shot because a ball rolls into the other yard. And my mind goes to this place, this is nuts. But I started thinking about the, you know, the 85-year-old guy who's, you know, sitting in his living room and a black kid knocks on the door and he shot through the screen door. I started thinking of, is this guy sitting there holding the gun? Are these people, are they that accessible that they're right there? And why? So this image popped into my head of these guys sitting there watching the F channel, having fear jammed down their throat at every moment, being fed the outrage fear candy of the day, you know, feeling secure in that I got my gun and that it's okay to use it. You know, good guy with a gun. I'm a good guy. And, you know, I started thinking about this. I'm going, you know, how is it that we're in this place? And because, look, you know, I grew up in the 70s. Crime was much, much higher in the 70s. Violent crime, way higher. In fact, you know, the murder rate in the 70s was right around, you know, 9.5 per 100,000. Peaked at 10.2 per 100,000 in 1980. The 70s were deadly. You know, we're half that. We're less than half of that now. But yet, everybody you talk to seems to think that there's violent crime everywhere when the statistics don't bear that out. We are a much safer society than we, much, much safer than we were in the 70s. Much safer than we were in the 80s. It was Clinton, and I, as much as I don't like Clinton, you got to give him credit for the bill that put more cops on the road that did bring the crime rate down. And yet here, all we're told is this fear and this anxiety about around every corner, MS-13, around every corner, there's a violent criminal. When again, the numbers don't bear it out. And look, I've said before, you know, when I was a kid, I witnessed lots of violence in my neighborhood. I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. There was violence in our neighborhood. I witnessed it. I've seen people shot, stabbed, beaten, all of that. You don't see that in the vast majority of neighborhoods. In those poor areas where I grew up, which we could deal with if we had the will, but we don't. But I started thinking about this today. You know, they've scared a generation of people, old white guys, into thinking that there's bad around every corner. And that the only way to stop it is with being a good guy with a gun. So they don't think they did anything wrong because they were told you get to stand your ground. And I've made the comment before that, look, I don't know at what point we have to just shoot each other if someone gives you the side eye. Because I don't know if they're going to shoot me first or I have to shoot them first. This is where we're going. And I started thinking back to when it all went really apparently wrong. And I go back to George Zimmerman. You know, we are right now in the natural destination post George Zimmerman. You know, the idea that you can start a fight with some kid for no reason and that kid can start to beat you like you should be. And then you say, hey, I was defending myself. I had to shoot him. Where when I was a kid, and I've said this 1,000 times, if you started a fight with somebody and you got your butt whipped, you deserved it. And everybody agreed, you deserved it. Now we're a culture of you start a fight, you cause problems, you do it, you kill somebody, well, I'm standing my ground. Or someone knocked on my door. You know the argument is going to be, yeah, I was afraid. I was defending my castle. No one should have been there. And the story, you know this 65-year-old guy who has shown no remorse. You know he's going to say, look, you know, I live in the middle of nowhere. Violent crime all around us. The car pulled into the driveway. I was expecting bad things. I fired a warning shot and oops, sorry, I hit somebody. Because here's the thing. Had he fired the shot and missed, would he go to jail? I don't think so. So I started thinking about this. I'm going, you know, when did we become so skittish, such cowards, so afraid of what's around every corner? And it's the F channel. It's right-wing talk radio. It's all of this. Be afraid of your neighbor. Don't talk to your neighbor. Certainly don't go out in public square. You know, go back to your bunker. You know, turn on the hate machine and load up your arsenal. And if something happens, well, you know, standing the ground. Now, look, I'm hoping these people are found guilty. But I'll tell you, I can't guarantee it. Because I was thinking about Joe Horn today. Joe Horn was a guy, and he was famous a couple years ago because he was watching three black men carry things out of a neighbor's house. They were stealing from the neighbor. And he's on the phone with the sheriff going, hey, they're breaking into the house. They're taking stuff. And the policeman is going, hey, you know, we're on the way. Just stay there. Don't go out there. Don't go outside. And the guy's getting more agitated, more agitated, more agitated. You know, I'm going to go out there. And he literally said, I am going to go out there and I am going to kill those guys. And he walked out the door and in the middle of the street or on the sidewalk or running away, he shot the three of them. And I believe it was in the back. Shot and killed him right on the scene. Now, interestingly enough, he was found not guilty. And you go, at what point do we take responsibility as a society for now what's happening? This shoot first, ask questions later kind of mentality. As we're pumping people full of guns, as we're pumping them full of fear, as we're moving more towards be afraid of everything. Now, look, I'm not a gun grabber by any stretch of the imagination. But at some point, there's got to be consequences. We've seen this play out far too often. And the weird thing is I'm watching this girl's father go through this heartbreaking, press conference. He's wearing a Second Amendment hoodie. And my mind just had to go, so you're promoting the guns, you're promoting this kind of this direction that we're taking as a country. Because, God, guns, and God, guns and fear, that sells. What's it going to take? When is enough? And look, like I said, my heart breaks for this guy. I cannot imagine. It could have been my daughter. She could have pulled into the wrong driveway. In fact, look, I've pulled into wrong driveways and go, we got to get out of here because we might get shot. Jokingly, we're now that place. And it doesn't have to be this way. But again, it comes back to the laws that we pass and the availability of all these guns. I've said before, the second we started going, nope, it's your right to not have to leave, to not have to retreat. See, in the old days, to make a justification, you said, hey, look, I had to make all reasonable attempts to get away. It's just property. But now we've seen stories, people bumping each other in a parking lot. When does it end? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Got a lot to get to. Want to hear what's on your mind. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Jenna sent me an email during the break, listening on WIOO 97.9 here in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, said, I have an uncle who sits in the living room with his gun watching the F channel because he's afraid someone is going to break into his house. He spends hours telling us what he would do in the event that that happens. Asks the question, would that be premeditated if he's sitting, waiting, hoping? It's a question. I mean, it's an interesting question. Someone knocks on the door? Used to be in the old days, you at least had to drag him in the house. Now we're just shooting through screen doors? Let's go to the phone. It's got Alice on line one. Alice, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. So I definitely want to comment on this. So the red states and West Virginia being one, you know, they're not real bright down there. There used to be a saying about something finding a wise man. So we've changed that to finding a intelligent person in West Virginia is like finding a pearl. No, Richard Ojeda, I don't mean you. But anyways, you know, my husband was in the a training hospital, West Virginia University, Ruby Memorial. Now, you don't have to wear a mask to go in there, and you can carry a gun, but you do have to know the passcode, and you have to have your picture taken, and you have to show your driver's license, and you absolutely must put this visitor's pass on with your picture. So my son said to me, he said, well, Mom, he said, it makes it real easy, I guess, when you have someone comes in carrying a gun and the doctor makes a wrong decision, at least they can identify the shooter who shot them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like, none of this stuff makes any sense to me, but, you know, the red states have just totally gone insane with this. And these people are just like, you know, like you, I really think that they're just sitting around holding their guns, living in fear. And the first thing that pops up that doesn't fit into their normal routine, they take it as a threat.
No, I truly believe that. Look, I've known people over the years who are, their mind is around every corner is danger. And I've said before, I don't know how you live a life like that. I don't know how you get up in the morning afraid of everything that will come your way. But, you know, they then rely on the gun, which, you know, like I said, you know, crime, statistically, the chances of things like that happening are minuscule, especially in a lot of these rural areas where this stuff seems to be prevalent. I do believe it's our media culture. It's the outrage candy that's being fed to them on a constant basis and on a 24-hour loop. And I don't know how we break that unless we start taking some of that on.
I'm agreeing with you because, well, I know, you know, what I've seen going on, and it's just, it reminds me, you know, I have a German Shepherd, and I worked very hard with my German Shepherd when he was a pup to make sure that he doesn't overreact. And my vet said to me, I'm really glad that, you know, you've trained him and worked with him, because he's not on high alert all the time. So, and I think that's what happens with these people. They're on high dangerous alert all the time. But you have a good evening, Rick.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. No, that is an excellent point. This idea that, you know, like a dog is, you know, if you train them to always be on high alert and always to be attacking, are we surprised they're going to bite somebody? No. It's the exact same thing. And look, I think back to, you know, some of the stories that I've shared over the years, and just the kind of, it's that man's inhumanity to man thing. This, you know, we're almost trained to not care about each other. You know, I've had a number of people over the years go, you know, blank your feelings. I don't care about your feelings. You know, not that it matters, because I don't have any. I was raised, you know, to think of others and to be respectful, to be compassionate, to not want to cause harm, even in the environment I grew up in. And when we were kids, you know, it was a different environment even then. You got into a fight, you let somebody up. You know, we are now, you know, being trained as a society to just want to cause maximum damage. To there are no second chances. And, you know, again, you look at the fact that if you're shooting people through a screen door, there's something there. There's some fear stuff there. I can't imagine, again, how you wake up in the morning feeling like that. Now, legislatively, as I said earlier, the fact that we have passed these laws that make using these firearms much easier, much more accessible, carrying them around all over the place, makes for opportunities for, you know, a couple of cars driving down the road, two idiots shooting at each other, hitting their kids. And I've said before, maybe what we need, maybe we do need to go back to the old days. Maybe we need to have dueling centers where if two idiots, you know, get all worked up and they want to go at it, let them duel. You know, put them in a straight room with walls that the bullets can't get out of. Got to thin the herd somehow. But I can't help but think about, as I was watching this guy give his answers at the press conference. I know, you know, hundreds of people like him. You know, decent, hardworking people who have been trained to think that, you know, it's my gun and I can do whatever I want, and this is the most important thing. This is my issue. And it's heartbreaking that this is how he's lost his daughter. And I'm not attacking him. This is our culture. This is the society that's been sprung up around us through mass advertising, through social media, through our media, through our corporate controlled media, through a political party hell-bent on fetishizing guns instead of going, look, they're tools. And you keep those at home. You know, I was reading something today that said, you know, the number of policemen in the country has declined. And there are a bunch of reasons for that. It is hard to be a cop in this day and age. Especially when you have to worry about every idiot having a gun now. Now, that also gives them the ability to go, look, I was in fear of my life. More gun deaths. Is there an answer? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. And if there is, how do we implement it? Because Democrats talk about guns and everyone loses their minds. The F channel goes crazy. The gun grabbers are coming. Even talking about red flag laws, which would have helped in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, even talking about background checks, which would have helped in a number of places. You know, 7-day waiting periods. All of these things that are inconvenient for the gun fetishist, but not an infringement of their right. And the sad reality is we can't get anything done. We can't get anything passed through. And I had someone today say, well, you know, the Democrats controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House for 2 years. Yeah, they did, but not to the extent that they could actually do anything. Yeah, they held the committees, they held all things, but they didn't have the power to push anything through that would help. We live in scary times. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Is there a way forward, or is this, hey, you know, like the guy in Tennessee said, nothing we can do about it. This is just like.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. People from Texas to Wisconsin are in the path of potentially dangerous weather. At least three people in tornado-ravaged Oklahoma died. CBS's Omar Villafranca is in Shawnee.
The family that was here is lucky to be alive. The roof, it's gone. Walls were blown out. One of the survivors here said that the sound of this house ripping apart at the seams is one of the scariest things he's ever heard.
CBS News has learned President Biden could next week announce his run for re-election. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
The video production is still in the works, and so obviously he'd have to not only sign off on the timing, but the content of that video as well.
The special prosecutor in the deadly Rust movie set shooting says they're dismissing the criminal charges against Alec Baldwin. They say newly revealed facts demand further investigation. CBS legal contributor Jessica Levinson also points
because
out.
Different prosecutors have taken over the case. It could indicate that there's now a different theory of the case.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's former parole chief is charged with public corruption. John Tate II is now on the Racine City Council. He voted to create a new violence interruption coordinator position in Racine last summer. He took the newly created job himself last fall. Prosecutors say Tate acted in his own financial interest while working as a public official. He could spend up to 6 months in jail. The Wisconsin Senate has confirmed 27 more of Governor Evers' appointees. The Senate confirmed a few more appointees in March, but the new year started with 180 unconfirmed appointments. Many Democrats complain Republicans are slow rolling the confirmation process for purely political reasons. In sports, the Bucks and Heat are tied in their playoff series, one game apiece. Milwaukee won last night, 138-122. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
Mary Jane's in Waukesha is truly all things hemp. Celebrate 420 today and let Mary teach you all about the benefits of hemp and recommend the perfect product for whatever ails you. 335 West Main Street in downtown Waukesha. Open daily 11 to 6 or online at maryjaneshempshop.com.
Stand up for the people. Hello, people will stand up for Democrats. The-
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, not a good day for Elon Musk. And, you know, I'm trying to think of which is worse, the fact that his rocket blew up or his bird died. I'm not quite sure yet. And the funniest cartoon I saw on Twitter today was a stick figure of Elon Musk with a stick poking a dead bird going, come on, make money. Because today's the day they did away with all the blue check marks. And I have said, and I've said this for a long time, I'm not paying the $8, never going to give Musk any money ever, not a dime, not a penny, nothing. And that it is the scarlet letter of this generation. Now it's the new MAGA hat. If you've got a blue check mark, I want nothing to do with you. I've gone and unfollowed everyone who has one, and I will not retweet, like, or do anything with someone who does. All that said, I'm going to ask my good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts on the Twitter story because, this is getting fun by the day. She's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to check out the work that she does. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello. Happy Thursday.
So I see that you lost your blue check mark. I didn't have to unfollow you. Thoughts?
Very sad. Very sad. I think it's silly to spend $8 for an emoji, but that's just me. I understand that there are other people who, I think there was a basketball player, maybe like an NBA player, who was like, yeah, I'm not paying $8. And I think he still has his check marks.
So. Yeah, LeBron. King James.
Was it LeBron?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Nice. And this is the beautiful part of this. LeBron James, Stephen King, a number of celebrities still have theirs because Elon is paying it for them.
Which is hilarious. But whatever.
No, but if it were me and you were paying mine, I would say, no, thank you. Take the scarlet letter away.
Yeah, I'm good.
I will not have the Musk mark next to my name.
The thing that is, I think, really sad is that there are actually a lot of government agencies, the Veterans Administration, Social Security, there are tons and tons of you know, government organizations, elected officials that have Twitter accounts. And now we really don't know what is real and what isn't.
Yep.
And that makes things, I feel like, a little bit dangerous.
No, and a perfect example of this is the city of New York had a Twitter account and tweeted out, this is an authentic Twitter account representing the city of New York City government. This is the only account for New York government run by the New York City government. You can verify our identity by confirming our handle here. And then another one with a different, Twitter handle says, no, you're not. This account is the only authentic Twitter account representing and run by the city government of New York. So you're going to have this kind of, yep, of chaos, and you've made the check marks worthless. When somebody with 6 followers now is verified, I think it's lost its luster.
That's how you know it's crap. And I mean, I think with the governments, what I would do is I would just either pin a tweet to the top or something and just say, you know, this is the legitimate account. We're not going to tweet from this anymore because there's no way to tell, if something is legitimate or not. If you have any questions, here is the email address. Here's the phone number. Contact us through this. Because just that's the only thing that we can do anymore.
No, it's crazy. And the fact that you've got a number of places buying these gold check marks now.
Right.
Not gold check marks, but you can get one of those for $1,000 a month. I'm like, really? If it's me, I'm going, no, I'm good. Thanks.
I don't get what that is about. I mean, I would understand it if you were getting some advertising in addition to that. But yeah, no, that's ridiculous. The funny thing, there were a bunch where one got taken away and one did not. And so the Pope got his taken away, but Cocaine Bear did not. Stuff like that, you know, where it's just like, wow, they took the Pope's verification away. The Pope has no blue check mark.
But I think God on Twitter does have his blue check mark still.
Oh, my God.
Not the real God, because I don't think the real God has a Twitter account. But I'm just saying
that we know of.
I find it hysterical. But this is one of those moments where, in my mind, and I was quoted in Bloomberg recently saying, look, this is going to be
you.
This is the MAGA hat You know, this is the new MAGA hat. This is the scarlet. Yeah. We're going to be able to find out, you know, now who the, you know, the, you know, a certain identity is. This is, you know, that the comedian. Here's your sign. The blue check mark is now your sign. And I'm okay with that. Let them do that. I don't see a value in it anymore.
And that is the beauty of all of this, is that he has kind of made it into, you know, the monstrous loser sign on the forehead for a huge number of people. And so it kind of motivates people to not participate and not pay the $8. And just because, you know, they're going to get ridiculed. And so that just seems like the worst possible financial decision ever. But again, this is somebody who sent a rocket up that exploded. So, you know,
no, good it didn't on explode. Ya. It didn't explode. How did they put it?
Unexpectedly
dismantled.
Yes. Isn't that brilliant? I was like, that's not real. Is that a real Twitter account? And you never know, because nobody's verified anymore. So
it unexpectedly dismantled.
And then the Air and Space Museum retweeted that and was like needling that, which I think is brilliant. And at the same time, like, you're looking at Tesla stock is going down and they're having to drop the price of Tesla more and more. So all these people who, like, you know, last year bought a really expensive Tesla are just SOL.
Yeah, but
right?
I was reading a story yesterday that was talking about that he does this before the shareholders meeting every year, that there's a drop so that, you know, people will go out and buy more so that he can go into the meeting and say, look, you know, we've had this surge. It's all a game. And there's part of me that goes, is that not kind of something maybe possibly, I don't know, not right?
Illegal? That seems like something that the SEC would be interested in. I don't know. I don't know if that's illegal or not, but I know that that's sketchy. And for all of the people that spent a small fortune on their Teslas that are now worth thousands and thousands of dollars less, I feel bad for them. This is why nobody should ever buy a Tesla. You should lease it if you want one. Or I'm really loving my Chevy Bolt.
Yeah,
I'm
still waiting. I'm waiting for the technology to work out. I'm waiting for more charging stations to go online, because I'm not still 100% sold on the electric vehicles yet. I know down the road possibly, but I'm still a little sketchy.
I know. It's crazy because my car, my Bolt, came with a home charger, which is amazing. Because I live in an apartment, that makes things a little sketchy. So I had my parents install it in theirs, since I'm going to be in Oklahoma for a little bit. And there are not a lot of charging stations in Oklahoma. In Washington, there are a ton. You can throw a stone and hit a plug-in. Every grocery store, and they're all free.
Yeah.
So there's really an incentive for me to go home and take my car. But the other thing, though, is I'm plotting out my trip back home, and everything is fine once I get to, like, Louisville. Once you hit Louisville and you start going into West Virginia, Virginia, lower Pennsylvania, Western Maryland, the charging stations get few and far between. And they're not the fast charging stations.
Right.
Sometimes you can pay extra and it will charge it in like an hour. But, you know, I don't mind sitting at a Harley Davidson bar for, like, you know, 4 hours, but still.
You don't want to go to the gas station, sit there for 4 hours?
Not really.
Yeah. We'll see. My problem is, you know, putting everything on that it's capable of being controlled through 5G and Ford going after, you know, this software to be able to recall your vehicles, and, you know, the constant, you know, surveillance of possibility. There's just so many things that I've got questions on, and we're so far behind legislatively on all of this stuff because we're still fighting over what bathrooms people use, which is just mind blowing to me.
Right.
But here we are in this weird spot where all of this technology stuff is way down the road, and we're so far behind on it. It's crazy. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to take a look at the work that she does. You're in Oklahoma. I wanted to get your thoughts on this audio recording. Evidently, a reporter, absent-minded reporter, left his recorder behind. And oh, the fun, the entertainment that came of that.
Holy cats. So this is a family-owned newspaper, and it's way, way, way down southeast. One of the things that folks are hearing about is that a conversation between the county sheriff and some of the county commissioners, they were talking about the good old days when they could lynch whoever they wanted to. We call that area of Oklahoma Little Dixie for a reason. That's all I'm going to say. Like, you, if you look at Oklahoma, it's such a weird state in that we kind of fit into a bunch of different brackets. And so if you draw just kind of like cross section in the middle, you know, you've got that upper northeast section is a little bit more like the Midwest. You've got the southern part, which is more like Texas. And then you've got the western part, which is a little bit like New Mexico, Colorado. But down there in that southeast, that is the South. That is every bit the South. And a really good way to understand that area is to look at the 2008 election map and see what kind of votes Barack Obama got there. That's an excellent way of describing what is happening in Southeast. But this newspaper that's family owned and operated, they're not taking any crap from anybody, and they're not afraid of anything. The dad is the publisher. His son is a reporter. And for 2 years, he has been like pounding the pavement, trying to find dirt and information on the county sheriff's office. And boy, oh boy, did they ever. They suspected that they were having county commission meetings without the public's knowledge, which is against Oklahoma's Open Records Act. And he left his recorder in the room and recorded them talking about barbecuing bodies, places that they could hide bodies. One of the commissioners talked about a hitman that he knows that he could hire to kill the newspaper people. It is everything that you would never, ever want anybody to say was said. It kind of feels like a joke. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, you're putting me on. Yeah. Like somebody actually said this. You got to be kidding me. And that's basically what happened. They released all 3 hours of it today because the police department said, you know, these aren't real. These are doctored. And it's like, well, if they're not real, how could they be doctored? So
they're real doctored.
Yeah. So they went ahead and released all 3 hours of it. And they were like, okay, you say that we edited these, that these are doctored. Here's all of it. And that's when you start hearing about, there was a deputy for the police department that was talking about how she exchanged sexual favors for getting pay raises for everybody in the department and for getting everything she wants. All she had to do was sleep with the chair of the commission. It's just like, wow, okay. Some of the corruption is now leading to a lawsuit. There was a guy from Tulsa who was down in Southeast and ended up being arrested. And as he was handcuffed, they were tasing him. He had a seizure. He died like 5 days later. So now there's a wrongful death lawsuit against that.
As Oklahoma turns.
This is bad. I mean, this is so bad that Kevin Stitt, the biggest right-wing nerdo nobody, asked them to resign. That's how you know it's bad.
Wow. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Welcome to Oklahoma.
Now, also, there's another story banging around about Oklahoma. Evidently, the AG there has filed a request to vacate the conviction of this guy who was convicted of hiring someone to kill somebody and spent, I guess he's been in jail almost 25 years. He killed this Barry Van Tress, I guess his name was murdered. And the guy who did it claimed this guy, you know, hired him to do it and then later recants it. And all of the arrows are pointing to this guy being innocent. Mm-hmm. And yet the state of Oklahoma is still planning on executing this guy on the 18th.
And that's the thing that's so crazy is that Oklahoma just barely got back to the point where they could execute people because of the sketchy drugs that they were using to do it and the botched executions they've had. I think this is another example of why it doesn't make sense for us to have the death penalty in the United States. There are a lot of other options.
No, the reason I bring this up is you've got that sheriff and you've got these stories coming out of here and the things that they're doing. And you know, look, I would never want to put
that
kind of...
It's all related.
Yeah, it all comes together and just shows you how, you know, some corrupt folks could really make lives miserable. And this guy being one of them, May 18th, they want to kill him. And everybody from the reports that I'm reading, everyone's saying, no, he didn't do it.
Yeah, and that's what's been so unusual about this is that it's mostly Republicans that are speaking out against this. And you don't usually get that very much. A lot of times you'll have Democrats that are fighting against death penalty cases. This is, in this case, it's the Republican Attorney General. They had a Republican member of the legislature that was on CNN this afternoon talking about it. So I'm just really surprised that Republicans are out there complaining about it. And, you know, maybe this means that they will have a moment in their minds where they're like, maybe we shouldn't be killing people.
Yeah. And maybe we shouldn't be plotting to kill people. Finally, I want to get your thoughts on Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Dick Durbin today, asking John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, to come and, come to Congress. They didn't subpoena him. They just did nice. Come on and talk to us. You seem to have some problems over there. You six little dictators with robes. Come and give us a statement or two. Does he go?
Probably not. But I mean, honestly, if he was smart, he would go, because if he doesn't go, then it's kind of this standoff. This, like, they're playing chicken to see who will blink first. And I wonder. I mean, it's Dick Durbin. Would he subpoena? Would he? I think he might.
At some point, you have to. At some point, with
exactly.
All the stuff that's come out, you have to.
And that is the big piece of our judicial system, right? Nobody is above the law. And you know, Clarence Thomas has broken all kinds of different regulations, all kinds of reporting things. He's lied about it. And then he's just like, oh, I didn't do this right because I don't know how to fill out a form, even though I'm a Supreme Court justice.
It's complicated.
Right. It's like, OK, well, if it's too complicated for you, maybe you shouldn't be on the Supreme Court. Call me crazy.
There is that. But I'm looking forward to it. He said these vows, they hold a hearing on it on May 2nd on ethical rules at the Supreme Court. I'm looking forward to May 2nd because maybe there's going to be more. I was in D.C. on Monday, and a couple of people that I'm close with said, look, there's a lot more of this Thomas stuff to come.
Yeah.
Pay attention. There's more. And I got to imagine it's not going to be just Thomas. I got to imagine Alito and Roberts and all of them have been feeding from the same trough, getting these vacations and these trips and going to these conferences and getting their pockets lined. I still want to know who paid off Brett Kavanaugh's bills.
Yes.
Maybe we talk about that.
I was hoping you would bring that up. I think a lot of that stuff is things that could be requested from a Freedom for Information Act. These are all public records. So I think reporters need to be requesting all of that stuff. We need to know who paid off his house, who paid off all of his debts. We need to know how many calls there were to the FBI, what those calls said, who they gave them to at Trump's White House, and why they weren't brought to Congress. There are a lot of questions about all of these people. And John Roberts has no ethics that he has passed for that.
Yeah.
That specific court. Time for him to answer some questions.
And none of it's surprising. Look, I had been mentioning, Thomas getting gifts and Ginny Thomas getting money from the Tea Party groups and all that for years. There's nothing surprising here. So for me, the only thing that I came away with this the only thing I walk away from all of this with is I don't have the right friends.
Right? This is the thing we say all the time. It's like, why isn't anybody taking us to the beach? Why isn't anybody else taking us, to like Indonesia on their private jet?
Yeah, buying my grandmother's house and fixing it up.
Right.
I got to get new friends. But as always, Sarah, I appreciate the time. Great stuff.
Thank you so much. Everybody have a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend, Sarah Burris. Remember, check out her website, rawstory.com, and the work that she does. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2.
On
On this day in labor history, the year was 1853. That was the day that Harriet Tubman led her first trip on the Underground Railroad, the clandestine network that helped enslaved people escape slavery and move north to freedom. One of the most remembered conductors on the railroad, Tubman herself escaped slavery in eastern Maryland. Tubman had been forced to work in the fields, performing back-breaking labor under a brutal overseer. As a girl, Tubman was injured when she was hit in the head by a weight thrown by an overseer. The injury plagued her with headaches and visions that Tubman attributed as signs from God. To escape these harsh conditions, Tubman had to leave her family behind. But she did not forget them. On her first trip to free those enslaved, the group included her sister and two children. On subsequent trips, she helped lead her brother and aged parents to freedom. In all, Tubman made 19 trips back to the South. She became known as Moses, leading her people out of bondage. These journeys came at a personal risk for Tubman. Enraged Southerners placed a $40,000 bounty on her head. But Tubman was known to say that she never lost a single passenger. The Civil War did not stop Tubman's bravery. She worked as a cook, a nurse, and even a spy for the Union Army. The renowned abolitionist Frederick Douglass wrote a letter for Tubman where he wrote, quote, "The midnight sky and the silent stars have been the witnesses of your devotion to freedom and of your heroism. The horrors of the slave labor system ended in the United States because of the courage of those like Harriet Tubman who risked their lives to stand up against injustice." Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So Joe Biden's nominee for Labor Secretary, Julie Hsu, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I'm looking at, again, Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin and John Tester seem to be holding things up. And this is one of those things where it used to be in the past that unless there was something really egregious, the president got the people that they wanted to lead the agencies. And I look at someone like Julie Hsu, who would do the mission of the Department of Labor, and that would be to advocate for workers, to help workers, to make sure that the workers are protected, make sure that, you know. And I loved one of the comments from Mitt Romney, who said that, you know, she's just she supports labor too much. She seemingly has a closer relationship with unions than with businesses. And I go, you know, there is a Department of Commerce. They're the business people. There's a Department of Labor. You know, that's, you know, to help make sure that workers get a fair shake. I certainly don't want a Howard Schultz-like labor secretary. Look what he's doing to the workers at Starbucks. I look at this Julie Hsu and what the Manchins and the Republicans even the Testers, I got to think, are afraid of is that she's going to do what Jennifer Abruzzo is doing at the NLRB. And that's interpreting laws in a different way to help make it easier for workers to have better protections on the job, to be able to do things better for working people. This is where the coded language, you know, she seems to be too close to those unions and not to business. And again, everything in this country has to be going towards the business end. It was an interesting hearing, and I'm not going to go into all the details other than I fear that Manchin and Tester are going to bring this down. If it's just Manchin, yeah, okay, you're going to get through. But if it's both Manchin and Tester, then her nomination goes down, and sadly, we end up with again another moment where you don't have someone at the helm, which is exactly what Republicans want. They want to be able to stall, delay. They don't want anything to get actually done, so that come next election time, they can go, look, well, Biden didn't do anything. Yeah, but you stood in the way the entire time. You obstructed the entire time. Are we surprised nothing got done? Nope. But here we are, another one of these moments. And there are a bunch of judiciary candidates that should be getting approved. And we've got Dianne Feinstein, who's holding that up. It seems like Democrats haven't figured out how to drive the car. And this is one of those things that drives me nuts. Get on the same page, move, get something done. You know, what Republicans understand, and this is something that, you know, I learned years ago. As long as it looks like they're fighting and they're winning and people are going to come along, even if it's the wrong stuff, even if it's stuff that's going to be destructive and divisive and is going to tear us apart, at least they're fighting, at least they're getting something done, even if it's horrible. Democrats, get something done. I look at Michigan, you know, repealing right to work, putting prevailing wage back, you know, protecting a woman's right to choose. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you got.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.